Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Don't sweat the technique.
Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees. Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we got two of the books, one to go. Final hour of the show starts now on the Killer Bees. As Jeremy is out, he'll be back tomorrow. Joe might be back if Jeremy is. If not, BMAC, always happy to have you. My good friend Barry Laminack to my right, always fun making radio with...
Good times.
My boy, so we're going to continue to roll on. Very astrocentric as we hit multiple topics today. We do want to get to some Texans as well. So Jason's been holding a while. What better way to roll into Texans Central than have Jason lead us off? Jason, what's going on?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
I actually texted in the other day, and I made the comment you guys were talking about drafts and whatnot, and I said that Sauce and Jordan Davis should be Texans. And I'm actually over with the season. I think we should fire Casario. The experiment's done. He's a horrible evaluator of talent. For the simple fact that we took a reach on Tank Dell. He was on no one's radar. We had the 65th and the 73rd pick, and we took Tank Dell before we took A-Chain. We could have actually took A-Chain first with that 65th pick and then took Tank Dell with the 73rd pick. Because I believe A-Chan went 85th overall or something like that, or he went 86th overall. But we totally screwed it. I think Casario is too smart for himself, and he always does dumb
Jason,
stuff.
Don't hang up. I got a question for you, okay?
Yeah. Because
I hear what you're saying, right? But I don't know that any general manager likes to take the risk that a guy that they know more about or they have more intel on about than most in Tank is available, even if it's just a couple of picks. Because I hear what you're saying about A-Chan, because A-Chan was playing down the road as well. But – in terms of what you said about Casario, look, as much as we've all been critical, and I've been very critical when he makes mistakes, what do you think about what he did to find C.J. Stroud?
Mm.
Because C.J. Stroud is the guy that we talked about on the show the other day, might buy him a pass for multiple years because of the fact that he is now your franchise quarterback, and I don't think anybody's going to argue that point, and that is the most important position on the field.
Mm.
Well, and this is the thing. I think C.J. Stroud was a pick by, you know, the owners. Hey, we need a quarterback. We need the people of the city to get back into it. Let's pick a quarterback. And C.J. Stroud was, you know, I guess was the better of the picks. Honestly, I was the Will Levis guy, not going to lie. I was the Will Levis guy. And, you know,
not
hey, we'll
two,
see them.
You were
head.
A Will Levis guy at two?
I was the Will Levis guy, yes.
Not at two. That just weren't going to happen.
But this is the thing, though.
Jason, are you
I'm not a fan
of my normal co-host?
Am I a fan of... Yeah, I am.
Okay, that explains the Will Levis
thing. Right. It does.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Wait, this is the thing, though. Hear me out.
Oh, I'm hearing it out.
The comment was made that we may be seeing CJ's ceiling, and it's good because he'll be still in the middle of the pack, like between 10 and 15, but that's not good enough to win, you know, championships, as you guys stated, you know, a couple of days ago. And so, and I'm not saying Will Levis is the guy to win you championships. I just like Will Levis over C.J. Stroud. That was just, you know,
Jason,
my thing. But I think
Last thing, Jason, real quick, though, man. You said you want to fire Nick Casario because he took Tank Dell at 69, and he didn't take Devon Achan at 84. The fact of the matter is you weren't going to take a running back that soon because you still had Damian Pierce,
true,
who just came off a hell of a rookie year. You weren't going to do that anyways. Maybe fifth, sixth round.
Where is he
you
now?
Take a backup.
Where is he
it,
now?
It doesn't matter. Achan
yeah,
is hurt,
know
or he was hurt, too.
To.
Yeah, you didn't know
true.
You weren't going to do that. There's no way you were taking
true.
A running back.
I would have done it.
No way. You're taking a running back in the third round after Damian Pierce's rookie year that he just had?
Now, Jason, there is a potential
now,
job for you
it
somewhere down
matter.
The road.
You didn't
because,
know what now was going to be.
I mean, Jason, there's a job for you somewhere down the road because, you know, Easterby got a job and he didn't have the qualifications. I understand you'd have done it, but I think to Barry's point, look, getting it back just the real conversation. As an organization, your best offensive player a year ago was Dameon Pierce. Okay? So you didn't know how the new system was going to translate for Dameon Pierce. But the assumption, and it is a logical assumption, is that he's not going to take a step back. He's going to continue to grow and be arguably one of the best players on your team from an offensive perspective as this roster continues to grow.
He was the second best offensive player behind Laramie Tunsil. What you needed was wide receivers. But this was a team that had no talent at wide receiver that you felt like anyways. They needed tight end, they needed wide receiver, and they needed O-line. So they took a wide receiver, a burner that you felt like, hey, at least he didn't have to be the best route runner. Hey, just take the lid off the defense for us. That's what they did. That wasn't a dumb pick by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, if you want to argue,
I like Tank. We should have him. The thing is, he's hurt too. He gets hurt too. He's small.
Yeah, but you knew that coming in. I mean, he's a smaller guy. But that was the knock on him coming in. But that doesn't mean you don't take him, because when he's on the field, you see how dynamic he can be, and some of the injuries that he's had.
You do take him.
What?
You do take. You still take Tank. You still take Tank. But you take him after you take Achan.
Are you firing?
Where's the guarantee that he'd still be there?
Are you firing every GM that didn't take Achan first? Because
let's
go through all the running backs that were off the board before him. Now you got to. Well, I mean, I'd probably start in Tennessee, but it doesn't.
No, but see, look, I think that the thing is, as a general manager, you can't gamble that hard. The guy that you really are focused on is going to still be there seven picks down the road.
Right.
Because that's where you get burned, and that's where you lose your job, too.
Yeah. And again, you weren't taking a running back that early. You just weren't going to.
No, you're right, because of who Pierce was a year ago.
Yep.
All right, appreciate the call, Jason. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate
good
you
combo,
listening.
Buddy. Well
but
done.
The Will Levis thing and the Jeremy thing, weird. We're going to get over.
That was okay.
All right. So, yeah, because I think, look, the question as you bring it up, Barry, as we rotate into this is, and we started getting into this yesterday, is – where are you focused on as Nick Caserio going forward as the key position to add to or to improve on as you move forward now that you passed on the trade deadline, right? This team is what it's going to be the rest of the season because they did nothing to try and to add. They also didn't sell, so they stood pat. So whether you like that or not, this is their way of saying, look, we like what we've been able to do in year one under DeMeco. We feel like we added another class of good young talent. And we feel like with a boatload of cash in the offseason, we're going to be in a position to continue to add to this team, as well as a very, very stocked cupboard of draft picks to choose from as you continue to add through the draft. Some people want them to go out and spend a lot of that money on a wide receiver. We talked about it yesterday, whether you believe T. Higgins is a true one or not. Mike Evans, if you look at the other side of the spectrum, we know that Higgins is a younger guy looking for his chance to be Batman instead of Robin. We know that Mike Evans has been Batman. Now, how many years can he continue to do that, and how many years are you willing to pay him, and at what price? So there's a lot to kind of break down and get into here in terms of where do they go next and who's on your radar?
Well, I think it really depends. This is why I said I really like the idea of not doing anything at the trade deadline. I like the idea of let's just see with this new coaching staff and these young guys, let's just see what we have at the end of the year. Let's see where we're at. If they finish the year with the same amount of wins they're sitting on right now, then you can assess what do we think the problem was. Was it the fact that no one respected our running game? Was that a problem for Dameon Pierce, or was that a new zone blocking scheme and our O-line isn't well-equipped to run the zone blocking scheme, or was it our running back that wasn't well-equipped? I think you have to assess. I think defensively, I don't think they have to do much. I mean, obviously, you need to get better.
You got to keep adding talent.
But they're top 10 in points allowed so far? They have acquitted themselves well. You have a good young secondary.
Yep.
You've got some bright spots at linebacker. You got added Will Anderson. I think that, to me, what this is going to come down to is one of three groups, which we talked about yesterday. Is it the receiving core? I don't know. Is it O-line or is it your running back situation?
O-line, I don't think they're touching. Maybe in the draft.
I don't know.
Maybe in the draft because you still need a left guard. But I think they're going to still give Kenyon Green every chance to succeed because of how high you drafted him.
Sure.
Because how bad he looks.
Scruggs, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Juice Scruggs, why he hasn't been on the field already, and I know he had an injury, but it's beyond me that he isn't ready already.
Right.
You know, and now you lost your sixth-round center last week. So you're looking at it going, I'll probably have to look at whether it's a backup or not, and I think it's smart to get – I said this before the season. They had an opportunity to get a veteran center just so that Stroud would feel more comfortable early on. But it also helps you to have a quality backup.
Right.
So where you look at it.
Which I found out they did.
When you talk about the money to spend, I think.
Oh, you're saying, so you're not just saying draft. You're just saying draft and free agency.
Yeah, because I think the position group is easy. You look at all the guys on one-year contracts. Like you had Sheldon Rankins. Sheldon Rankins, I think, was a great ad, but he's on a one-year deal. So he's made a difference on the defense with a defensive-minded head coach, to your point. That's why I think the defense has excelled. But you're going to have guys that you got to resign. You got to resign Stevie Nelson. You got to resign Rankins. You got to figure out, I think, Jerry Hughes you have to resign if you're going to resign him. You still don't know what Stingley is, and you hope by the end of the season you get a clearer understanding.
Yeah.
But there are holes to fill, right? You signed Jimmy Ward to go along Petrie. You got some safeties. But you bring Shaq Griffin in on a year deal.
You know what's crazy, and call me crazy, because you guys usually do when I give you takes. But I agree with
you. Roping a new guy.
I agree with you about the receiving core probably ends up bubbling to the top of where you want to spend a lot of money. But don't sleep on the fact that adding a complimentary pass rusher to Will Anderson.
Big, but what's Grenard?
Yeah.
Grenard's been good.
Sure he has, but I don't think he's your prototypical, D-end pass rush guy. And maybe that's just not, me knowing the scheme that D'Amico runs. Maybe he doesn't care about that. Maybe he's not necessarily looking for a 7 or 9 technique guy. He's like, yeah, we can put an outside linebacker out there and put him down in a 4-point stance and let him get after the quarterback. That's fine.
See, I think you have enough draft picks.
I think having a compliment to take some of the pressure off of Will Anderson can really allow
him. Oh, there's no doubt you need another bookend. You look at what Pittsburgh did with Watt and Highsmith. You've got, the best defensive pass rush teams have more than one, right? And they can come from a variety of ways. You saw how active Malik Collins was a week ago. But I think that from a draft perspective, you also see to his point about where Tank fell to. You're going to have a ton of receivers in this draft. Now, are they all going to be quality wide receiver one talent? Probably not. But you're still going to have wide receivers to choose from. They need a tight end. Dalton Schultz, in my mind, is going to go somewhere else next year with a veteran team where he's going to try and get a 3 or 4 year deal at max, not max money, but a lot more money than a 1 year, $9 million deal to prove himself. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to explore that too. But between free agency money and the draft, the position groups are pretty clear in terms of what you have to add to.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, you've got to get a true one. You want that relationship to develop over time with CJ Stroud, right? He needs his Jamar Chase. He needs that guy that, is his clear cut one. And what's interesting is do you go that Joe Burrow Jamar Chase route? Do you try to figure out how to get one of those fantastic receivers from Ohio State in this upcoming draft that he's played with, that he's comfortable with?
Depending on how many wins he get the rest of the year, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Exactly. And, you can maybe move up and do that. I don't know.
Well, you didn't have to if you didn't. Never mind. Okay, we're going to continue to roll on. We got Texans Talk on the Todd Don't Go Anywhere. We'll get you after the break, so we'll get you in here on some Texans Talk. If you want to join the program, 713-780-3776, where you can call and text. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter is available. We got plenty more of the show still to go, so don't go anywhere. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my friend Doc Linville, though. Doc Linville, best in the business at a variety of different plastic surgeries and things that he does. But the one thing that I think that I know from firsthand experience that he does better than anything else, but he's the best in the business at, is the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you're a guy that's struggling with pattern baldness, thinning, or bald spots, and you don't think you can get your hair back, you absolutely can. And in fact, it's your hair. Notice I didn't say all the fake hair and the sprays and the creams and the foams that you see on TV, but you understand isn't going to get your hair back. The great thing is you're going to get it back because the NeoGraft procedure takes your hair from areas you're never going to lose it, the sides and the back. Genetically, that's a fact. And he's going to put it where you need it most. Maybe it's your hairline in front, or maybe you got that baboon's butt that's rearing its head on the back of your dome piece, and you need something to cover it up. Well, that's exactly what the NeoGraft is going to do. And you're going to see the results almost instantaneously. The follicles that are moved are going to stay and grow, be with you for the long haul, getting stronger and longer. Why? Because he's taking it from a spot where you're never going to lose it. It makes sense. When he explained it to me, it's why I did the procedure. 95 to 99% of the follicles that he moves aren't going anywhere. They're going to be with you for the rest of your life, and that's why this is the thing to do if you want to get your hair back. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com, because if you are listening to this program and go to 975hair.com, you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150 for you, free. No obligation, no signing on the dotted line, nothing to do later. Just go in, get answers to your questions, and figure out if it's right for you. It's that simple. It was right for me. It could be right for you, too. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
Most bees make honey. These killer bees make great sports insights, but they also make honey. Don't ask about the process. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Joel and Jeremy.
Today, the Hive is alive with the Queen Bee, Barry Laminack, along with Brian McDonald and myself, Joel Blank, as we continue to roll through the second day in a row without Jeremy, as he spent some family time, quality time, and got away from the show for a few days. He'll be back tomorrow. Joe should be as well, if he's not trying to make himself an on-air talent by filling in on another show, and he thinks that my armpit deodorant isn't working and stays away from me.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what it is at this point, but he makes excuses every day so he doesn't have to work with me. That's fine.
Fair enough. If he's not on air.
If he can't see through the pandering that Jeremy does on a daily basis just to make him believe that he likes him, it's horrible.
Is it?
It is horrible. But that's why I appreciate Brian McDonald being here. Todd wanted to get in. He was patient. He waited through the break. Wanted to talk a little Texans and CJ Stroud. Todd, what's going on?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Real quick, I think Lovie Smith saved Caserio, because as I recall, everything was Bryce Young, bad S2 scores for CJ Stroud, Mulligetta, the agent, yada, 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 all of those things. And then the Texans beat the Colts and gave them the number 2 pick, and the Bears traded number 1. And so, like Duncan was saying about Caserio, all right, so if it would have went the other way and you were looking at 1-6 with Bryce Young putting up what he's doing in Carolina and Houston, would Caserio be fired for that? I mean, the Green pick as well. Stingley has barely played. Like, man, there's a lot of questionable moves made. And I think, my honest opinion, he lucked into C.J. Stroud. Of course, once you get C.J. Stroud, you're always going to be like, it was always C.J. Stroud for us. I don't think it was. I think he got lucky. I'll hang up and hear what y'all have to say.
It's not a crazy theory. I mean, that the fact that they lucked into C.J. Stroud. But, listen, the book's not closed on either one of these guys yet. This could all be for naught. Bryce Young could figure it out in year two. I mean, you know, you saw Trevor Lawrence struggle in year one on a bad team, and now he's played a lot better. It happens a lot. Peyton Manning was bad. There's a reason why these guys go where they go, because there's bad teams at the top of these drafts. So when you're a quarterback that goes to a bad team, some teams just get better faster than others, right?
Well, but let me say this, because I've had this conversation before. As much as you'd like to believe your general manager is the smartest voice in the room at an analyzing talent, there is a theory out there that should be respected, that actually with all the animosity and all the problems that and all the discussions that ensued after they blew a game they should have lost in Indianapolis, that it actually was the greatest thing to ever happen to this organization, because if they don't win that game, I think there's a better than 75% chance they take Bryce Young.
You know what, though? Maybe so. And again, you don't know. Bryce Young still might be.
And not to say that Bryce Young is bad either, right?
He's playing pretty well.
He's not C.J. Stroud in the way he's come out of the gates just on fire.
But let me ask you this. If you put Bryce Young on this team, is he better than he is with that? I mean, that Carolina, you talk about a bad O-line. Yeah, and that defense ain't really helping them. Your defense is a lot better here. What I tell you, top seven, top 10 in points allowed. That means you're getting off the field. You're giving your offense a chance to go out there and do some things. I mean, it's all of it. You can't just take, pick and choose one thing and take it out and say, okay, what if here, what if there?
But you hear what I'm saying, right?
I totally get it. But don't sleep on the fact, too, that if they had the number one pick, it wasn't a guarantee they were taking Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
True.
They may have taken Will Anderson at number one and try to move up to get Levis or Anthony Richardson.
There is some legitimacy to the idea.
Because you got a defensive head coach now.
That game did you a massive favor that maybe you weren't willing to do for yourself because you couldn't figure out who to take.
Well, that's what he's saying. You know, some is that Lovey and the Bears and that all that was a blessing in disguise because you might have drafted wrong.
Barry, look, because of the fact that, look, whether you were in the Levis camp like Jeremy, whether you were in the camp of Bryce Young like most, whether you believed from Ohio State and otherwise that CJ was still going to be really, really good, me as the innocent bystander analyzing everybody, I wasn't sure any of these guys were going to be good.
And that's where I was. I was like, take Will Anderson, suck next year, get Caleb Williams.
Exactly.
That was my big plan.
I was
terrible GM.
I would have been okay with all of that. Because there was no definitive one, because as good as Bryce Young was in college, we knew that the size issue was a problem.
Yes.
And you still see that, right? Yes. You watch a game last week, you saw he still has a little bit of a hard time seeing over the line.
Well, how many batted balls does Stroud have?
No, he did too, and I mentioned that the other day with Jeremy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's unmistakable that the height and the size is still an issue with Bryce Young. So to the overall point I'm making, you couldn't definitively say any of these guys were going to be surefire, can't-miss prospects. The way that last game of the regular season played out, if you were going to go quarterback, made the decision for you.
Mm.
Now, they still tried, if you believe the rumors, they still tried to trade up with the Bears. And if they traded up with the Bears, I don't think they were trading up to get C.J. Stroud.
Probably not, but wasn't that kind of the consensus? Is that the consensus take, if you weren't going Will Anderson, was Bryce Young? Would you?
Well, with the best, you're talking about with the first pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first pick, even Lance will tell you, the first pick was Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. I'm not of the belief that there was anybody in that room over there on Kirby that was thinking C.J. Stroud was a better quarterback than Bryce Young. If they were going to go quarterback, and to the caller's point too, whether it was the McNairs stepping in and saying, this is the year we're getting a quarterback, damn it, no matter what, we're just do it. Or it was, hey, we're taking whichever is left over between Young and C.J. Stroud. I don't know the answer to that, but there's enough that has shown up over time that tells me that I believe that there's a pretty damn good chance that game dictated who you were going to take.
Yeah, probably. So they got lucky. And
that's exactly it.
But I mean, at the time, let me ask you, forget everything you know about these players right now.
Right.
Put yourself on day two of the draft. We know what the Texans have done. Lovey Smith loses the last game. They get the number one pick. They don't trade out and they take Bryce Young. Even though we were both like, I'm not a Young or Stroud or Levis or Anthony Richardson guy. I'm a Caleb Williams guy. I'll wait till next year. It would have still been the right pick at that day. Now, 8 games into the season,
see, I don't think
it's
you ever,
not.
See,
then it was.
Yeah, you talk about it from the standpoint of the organization, and then you also have to individually talk about it and what it would mean for Casario.
Right.
If you swung and missed on a quarterback, it could be your job. If you decided that none of these three guys were going to be what you were looking for, and you decided we have a new defensive-minded head coach. We're going to give him his defensive-minded big-time player with our first pick. I think his job is safe, right? The only way you find out that you're going to lose your job for not taking one of the quarterbacks if one or more of them turn out to be franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah. Would you have rather had Bryce
Young? I'll be the first to admit, by the way, because you and I have had this conversation, but I'm the first to admit over and over again, I had my doubts about C.J. Stroud.
Same. Would you have rather had Stroud or Young or one of those four quarterbacks that were taken, you know, in that draft, especially with Richardson going, what, fourth?
Yeah, to the Colts.
Yeah. I'm looking at a mock for this year already for the next draft. So those four versus Caleb Williams.
Drake May,
Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy.
See,
you kind of know what those – here's where you got to throw – flash of what those four were.
Here's where you got to throw the caveat again. Are we saying knowing what we know now? Because that affects the Stroud-Young conversation, and it also affects the Caleb Williams conversation.
Right.
Because two Heismans in, getting ready to start a season, I'm saying hands down, all my chips are in that of all the quarterbacks we're discussing, Caleb Williams, to me, looks like the best prospect. But now, 7 or 8 weeks into the NFL season, And also college, analyzing C.J. Stroud, yeah. I'm not sure that C.J. Stroud isn't the best quarterback in that discussion.
Of these eight names, you're right. It's like, wow. And again, you don't know what Drake May is going to be. You don't know what J.J. McCarthy is going to be or Bo Nix. And you really don't
Penix
know.
Penix is going to be in that discussion at the end and, yeah. at the end of the day, too.
And you don't know what really any of them are going to be. But just based on body of work and, you know, and again, hindsight's always going to be 20/20. The fact is, I mean, to his point, he was wanting to get rid of Caserio, and he lucked into that. Okay, you know what? The Rockets lucked into Hakeem Olajuwon, too, and Ralph Sampson. And one of those worked out, and one of them didn't. So sometimes you got to just get lucky as a franchise. Look at the Spurs. They lucked into Wembanyama. So it's not – sometimes you got to get lucky. You know, and then you've got to make sure that you don't do something really stupid when you get a pick like that. And maybe, you know what? I ain't mad. I'm not firing Nick Caserio because he got lucky and ended up getting the number two pick and had to take C.J. Stroud. I'm not going to fire him for that.
No, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
I do. I totally do. But I'm just saying to the caller's point that kind of started all this. Yeah. Nick Caserio, he's got a leash with me now. Especially
See, I
now
think so
that they've
too.
Got a,
I think
a,
as
a
much
guy,
as we've scrutinized all the other moves, and I said this when the caller, when we had the other caller, when you get it right, or it looks like you got it right with the most important position in sports as a franchise quarterback,
yeah.
you buy yourself some time.
Because right now, I think the worst thing he's done so far was the Stingley over Sauce pick. In my mind, and maybe I'm missing one or not
well,
thinking
Kenyon
about
Green's
it.
Pretty bad too.
Yeah. That's true.
Right? I think that entire first round, if he had a do-over.
But it was like, ooh.
Because it was a guard, too. It wasn't a left tackle.
But you know what?
Because that's big, too, right?
True.
A guard doesn't go that high normally.
True.
Anyway.
But with Sauce and Stingley, that was kind of one of these Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud scenarios. Which one should
true.
You take?
Good point.
Which one is everybody saying you should take? And everybody was saying,
Jeremy and I were both on board.
It's 50-50, really.
And I trusted because Jeremy watched Sauce play too. But I said, look, if you have 1A, 1B, both guys are evaluated the same way. If one guy doesn't have a history of illness or injury, and in the case of an injury of a defensive back where it's your foot.
Yeah.
If it's 1A, 1B, and everything else seems to be pretty much the same, I got to take the guy that doesn't have the injury history.
Yeah, true.
So, all right, there you go. That's the 5 to 5:30 hour, half hour of the show. Still 30 minutes to go in the show. Still got the car wreck of the day coming up. If you got nominations for car wreck of the day, get them in right now. Let us know what you think might be the car wreck of the day. Maybe it was last night something in the World Series. Maybe it was something else that we missed along the way in, I don't know, the news, entertainment, comedy, who knows. But let us know, and we'll see. What we need to get in the car wreck of the day. We've got 30 minutes to go on the show, and we'll get to it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, continue to roll on the final half hour of the show. Always a fun experience when we reunite the suspects on the Killer Bees, and he is a bee, so he is the queen bee today. Uh-huh. Is we know him.
Usually, when you call someone a bee, you're just abbreviating the
someone said that,
word
by the
for
way.
Female dog.
You don't get to see these, I guess.
That's my favorite.
Hey,
word,
Hey, bees,
too.
What kind of bees produce milk? Boobies. You can use that in your next show. I don't think the guy's going to want any.
Oh, boy. Yeah, thanks.
So feel free
There's
to
no
use
way
that.
I can write a better joke than that.
Hey, by the way, when's your next show? Because you never hear that.
Okay.
Got any, you know what someone didn't bring up?
You don't
up?
Think that joke would kill in Chicago?
No.
Okay.
Not a bit.
I don't think you need a joke to get killed in Chicago.
No, you'll just get killed in Chicago.
I don't know that.
Exactly. Well
having, done. I'm from a small suburb of Chicago called Milwaukee, but I was close enough to know you don't want to hang out there if you don't have to.
No, you don't.
By the way, the one thing that I realized for all you suspects listening that didn't pick up on this, anytime the batter's eye comes up, ask the botanist next to me what kind of a plant that he should be growing to make the freaking ivy a different color or do something different with all this freaking lawn and plant talk.
You know what? I thought just you saying that just now, too. You know what I would do? If we're gonna leave it as is, as far as the batter's eye and you want to replace the ivy, cool. Replace it with poison ivy. Now you've got to decide, do you want to go and let it run all the way down, including the wall, right? Like, you know how Wrigley had their fence and the ivy? Yeah, same kind of thing, right? Right down there in center field, the ivy goes from the top all the way to the grass, but it's poison ivy, and now you got to decide, do you want to try to go up and take a home run away?
Players got to make business decisions.
Exactly. That's more fun.
And
that's
we can sponsor it. Tao's Poison Ivy Wall.
You're on to something. It could be sponsored by Roundup. It could be there's a lot of options. I like it. Poison Ivy. You could get a sponsorship with calamine lotion. Like,
again, it's the flagpole to the Poison Ivy Wall.
For a majority of the time that we work together.
Yes.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever said. Because this developed later than lawn talk.
Yes.
I'm going to do what I should always do whenever it comes up and you go this long on a rant. And hammer for $18.33. We're done.
The damn eye.
Bring the hammer back if we're going to do it.
Love it. I don't want to bring it.
How did he never sponsor our show,
bro? I have no idea. You know how much run that dude got on the show? And now it's his son?
Yeah.
But he's going by the hammer. Or shouldn't he at least be the mallet? Shouldn't he be something else?
I think you're right.
How can you be the hammer? There's only one hammer.
Yeah. What are you, the ball peen?
Yeah. Wait, did you say bald?
No, not bald.
Oh.
Ball peen.
Like, that's
hammer.
A whole different thing.
See?
That's a...
Only you. Maybe not only you,
maybe
but
that's alopecia.
Trying to get dumped again today?
That's an alopecia issue. That's what that is.
Okay.
Total Dallas said the batter's eye should just be a picture of Adolis Garcia. Ouch.
See, Total
Ouch.
Arlington.
Ouch.
Total Arlington. I mean, we've given him a little bit. Look, he's going to get his chip, it looks like. But he needs to slow his roll, too, because he's taken more lumps than I won't say it. But the fact of the matter is, he's taken a lot of L's before he got to this point. So slow your roll. There's more silver boots under our bed than freaking yours.
He brings it on himself. He knows what he's doing. But yeah,
does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Is Dre still his friend?
Listen, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And as long as they're talking about you, they're talking about you.
Ask Matt. Matt.
Hey, well,
going back to that conversation,
exactly.
That's pretty easy to go that route, right?
By the way, we'll get off of this. But
happy birthday, Brother Bear.
Oh, happy birthday, Brother Bear.
Loyal to both of us for a long time.
For a long time. All right, I crunched the numbers. I took the 7 years post Towels Hill, excluding 2020, because that was the COVID season when they weren't here. And then I took the seven years pre Towels Hill.
We'd like to exclude 2020.
Yes, which was 2015 and back. Now, something to be said for the quality of team at these times, but it doesn't matter. The numbers don't lie. Pre Towels Hill, the Houston Astros averaged 631 runs a year on average. As a team, the last 7 years of Towels Hill, okay? Post-Towels Hill, the team averaged 823 runs. That's almost 200 more runs a year. Without Towels Hill, I'm telling you, that's where the careers of Bagwell and Biggio were buried, under the hill. It's gone. Offense is taken off. Enough said.
So you don't want the hill back after all?
Facts are there. No, I do want the poll, though. I want the poll.
That you do. I would like you to isolate that for me, B-Mac, and I'd like you to isolate whether we use it on air or not. I'm going to need that clip.
He's going to make it his ringtone.
Barry's just usually a fan of people who work around polls.
You know what? It could be sponsored by the Gold
Cup.
Literally
came out. I'm just letting you know it had nothing to do with the stripper. Nothing to do with the stripper.
I hate you, Joe Blake.
Nothing at all.
I hate you. Okay, we don't need to keep saying it in the chat on Twitch either. Barry wants the poll. Yeah. In center, you know what?
Sometimes when a pole is large and magnificent, you just got to admire it.
Shut up, B-Mac.
See? Now here we go.
Boy, you know when this doesn't happen? When I do a show by myself. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That was ridiculous.
You did it to yourself.
I did. I you cooked it.
Another self-inflicted.
Yeah.
You call it a wound?
What?
You calling it a wound? I mean,
this is what it is, right?
The pole.
Yep.
Okay. Looking at that clock, hoping it gets to the break pretty soon.
Are we done? How red am I right now? I'm as red as a straw in my tree.
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's good times.
Did you get a new haircut or something, though, by the way? Because you can't be red as a straw on top, because you are
Yeah, I shaved it all this morning for TV.
Tight.
You know.
Oh, for TV.
Some of those
tell everybody where they can find you on TV.
TV stars. Yeah, you know what? That's cool. Thank you. Drums Solomon and I do a show you can watch every Saturday on CW39 here in Houston. It's called Football Saturday. We kind of lead you up to college football. Some shows or some games do kick off before us. What we usually do is we lead into the CW39 game of the week. This week it's Georgia Tech and Virginia.
Oh, that's a good promo. Glad we ran that one.
I don't know. It's
that was a professional work right
quarterback
there.
Is Virginia. The ex-A&M quarterback, but, right?
Who?
Georgia Tech's quarterback is the ex-A&M quarterback.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm sure you talked about that on the show.
We don't
the team
just,
you don't know.
Like, the whole half hour isn't covering the CW39 game.
I mean, you got to talk about the poll.
That would be
you
awful.
You got to talk about.
No, we talk
that's
about.
Like your Thursday show,
you know what?
Which was supposed to be a college football show when I listened to you and Jerome.
No, that was never supposed to be. That was always just sports talk. The Saturday show is college football only.
Okay.
Was it supposed to be?
I think so.
No, it's not.
I think so. I know.
I thought I'd heard that as
now,
well.
Yeah, now, I know it's not.
No, no, no. The Thursday show was meant to be just on radio here on, because it's called Game On. That's on Thursdays with Jerome and I, and that's just sports talk. But yeah, the Saturday show on CW is called Football Saturday. Rumor is, though, it might be getting picked up. Carried all over CWs all across the state coming.
That would
so
be
yeah,
cute.
So yeah, check it out. It's a fun show, man. If you know, I don't like to do anything stuffy. So Jerome gives me the freedom to have some fun and
that's awesome.
and do some fun stuff. So if you're sick of the boring pregame shows, check that one out.
There you go.
Thank you.
So there's the promo that
appreciate
we
that.
We if you guys want to get more Barry. And by the way, your next show is
tomorrow in St. Louis.
Well, okay. Can we Mr.
So Game On's not on
yeah,
tomorrow?
Mr. Worldwide.
No, I might call in. I actually might call in from the
you
road.
You should call in while using the Wizinator.
No. It just depends when my show is.
Come
okay.
On!
Now it is time
all
for
right.
Break.
There you go. Now it's time for break.
All right.
Someone said Barry's going to get banned again by 975. Car wreck of the day nominee.
What did I say? What did I say?
Bald, and I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't finish it. I just said, he said ball peen, and I said, did you say bald? He goes, no. Okay, I didn't hear. Okay, you know what? Both of you are off
you
my Christmas
talking about
list.
The hill or the pole?
Both of you are off my Christmas list, and so is whoever brought
was
that
I
up
ever there. On?
Yes.
Oh, for a small window of time. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the car wreck of the day and wrap this thing up. Don't go anywhere. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. The show name is a reference to how many great Astros' last name begin with the letter B who were playing back in the 90s when they were not winning World Series. Bagwell, Biggio, Barry, Bell, and eventually Bergman. You might not remember Barry and Bell, but trust me, you'll remember Blank and Brenham. Here they are now, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, back final segment of the show. It's Barry, Brian, and myself as we wrap up a second straight Suspects Reunion Tour version of the Killer Bees, which thankfully we've been having more frequently. Always enjoy working with my bro, Barry. I got some sad news to pass on to you as you guys are getting in your car driving home from work. May not have caught this yet, but the general has passed away.
John McClane?
Robert Montgomery Knight, Bobby Knight.
Scared me.
Passes away at 83.
That's sad. But
what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Bobby Knight?
I was like, I'm going to throw a chair in his honor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to immediately send out the gif of Ron Swanson throwing the chair across the room in Parks and Rec while he's wearing the red sweater.
There you go.
Like, the other thing, too, if you watch, and I forget if it was the documentary on Vital or if there was a documentary on Bobby Knight, but he held grudges and Vital was like super in his corner at all times. And evidently, at one point, Vital said something about him during a telecast. And he stormed back and forth in front of them doing their stand-ups. And he was fuming. And then he gave him like one of those monster grip handshakes.
Oh.
And you could just tell that he was totally ticked off at Vital. It's like, bro, like you're in a business where you're going to get scrutinized all the time.
Yeah.
It's why Charles says that he does what he does, and he understands that as part of it, some of his friends are going to go along the wayside, like Michael Jordan, because he's got to be honest, and people don't understand that.
Yep. It comes with the territory. When you sign up for this, you open yourself up to criticism, just like you're responsible for being honest in your critique of people that maybe you're intimidated by or friends with or whatever. You've just got to be honest. But, yeah, dude was a coaching legend. I don't know what his
– Well, that's why I think Tom Brady got out of the Fox deal, because I think Tom Brady thought it was all going to be fun and sunshine and rainbows till he realized, I'm going to start having to criticize guys I played with that are going to have a direct line to come at me and not be happy with me. And I don't think he wanted all that smoke.
And see, that was the beautiful way that the Mannings did the Manning cast, is they don't have to be so critical, but they can still be associated with football, right? Like, you don't, it's not an, you're not an analyst per se. You're just breaking down in game and, you know, being funny and, oh, we should call a timeout here.
There's ways like you can pass the buck on blame by still pointing out that was a bad read. Exactly. That was a bad play call.
Bobby Knight, his career, is he more, he's Indiana,
he's Indiana,
right?
I was gonna say,
is he more Tech or Indiana?
Yeah. Three NCAA Division I championships, five Final Fours, 11 Big Ten regular season.
Undefeated season.
Yeah. 902 and 371 was his record.
It's pretty good.
It's really good. Really, really good.
He's already in the Hall of Fame, right?
Should be. I think I remember him most, though, for his run as an assistant at Cuyahoga Falls High School. Okay. That's really where...
You're on his Wikipedia page right now, aren't you?
Absolutely not. All right here, buddy. Don't look.
I think
all right here. Turn this away from the twist.
The thing where you understand, like, coaching lifers, he coached Krzyzewski.
That's crazy.
At where? At Army?
Well, yeah, Army. I believe you're right. Yeah.
He was a consultant for Naismith, too. Okay.
He hung the peach basket?
He was the carpenter that built it.
If you could find talent looking at Krzyzewski, who could only look smaller and less physical
right
when he played.
Who do you think was worse at basketball, Krzyzewski or Jeff Van Gundy?
Van Gundy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. It could be.
Yeah, Van Gundy played at like Nazareth.
Nazareth, yeah.
Yeah.
He played with Jesus? No? Okay.
No, but he was a carpenter before he became a coach.
Exactly. Charlie Murphy weren't available. The only way Van Gundy could play in the game and say game blouses.
Game blouses, yeah.
I'm serious.
You know what's funny? I'm scrolling down the Wikipedia. No, I'm not. And there's a picture of Bobby Knight and Mike Krzyzewski right there.
Krzyzewski.
Yes. During their tenure at Army. Yeah.
God, we did a...
I had no idea Bobby Knight ever coached for Army. No clue. Bobby Knight's coaching career started for me in Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, went through Tech.
I think BMAC makes the big point too, which is to have the undefeated season.
It's the last one, isn't it?
UNLV was close that one year, and then
UNLV
beat them
lost
in the title
to Duke
game
in the final.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's run the table.
And then Kentucky got to, I think, the Elite Eight. What was it, about 5-6 years ago? Yeah, they got Wisconsin, the Elite Out and lost to Wisconsin.
Damn right,
they were undefeated
every damn time.
Oh my God,
Frank the Tank and Sam Decker. Eat your heart
out. Set Joel right up for that one.
Yeah.
Don't ask how. You know exactly how that came up.
Were you excited that Sam Decker was a
blew
was
it
a
against
rocket?
Duke, and they blew a lead, and then it's like it doesn't matter because you didn't win it all.
Were you just, frothing at the mouth when they got Sam Decker the Rockets? You were just like,
No doubt. Sam will tell you that.
Yes.
The whole organization was. They were like, oh, my God, you got your boy. You got a Badger. Daryl, even right after he drafted him, he goes, hey, Joel, we drafted
you,
your boy.
You're welcome.
Like, oh, it's awesome. And then, and then about 2 days later, I was sitting with Mikhail on the sideline watching practice, and I go, how's my boy looking? And he goes, well, we do this drill where we have everybody shoot 25 threes. And, you know, he shot it really well in college. I go, coach, don't tell him. He goes, he just posted the worst score in the history of the test. I was like, yeah, it's not a good thing.
Ah, that's great.
He got mad at me, too.
Decker did?
True story.
Oh.
Yeah. Someone tweeted me or something like that and said that they were proposing a trade for the Rockets in which Sam Decker was the, quote, centerpiece to bring back, like, a true superstar.
I remember this.
And I was honest and said, to no one ever is Sam Decker the centerpiece of a trade to bring that back. And he got mad at me.
I remember this. This happened when we were on air.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And he got mad.
I do remember that.
Yep.
And he was like, you know what? Yeah. He took a shot at you. It missed, obviously, but still took a shot at you.
He missed my dome, but he didn't shoot that way. So.
That's a good time.
All right, let's get the car wreck of the day.
Rest in peace to
the general.
The general.
Not that general.
Guys, I haven't seen my shoe tops in 15 years.
What do you mean I died? I feel like it, but I didn't know.
Let me tweet another obvious Astros take.
The dynasty's over.
What?
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day, brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com.
All right, you heard the man, CarWreckTexas.com. That's where you find my man, Steve Hollingsworth. If you ever get into a car wreck, that's the number you should already have saved in your phone, because he's the guy that's going to be in your corner. And he doesn't get paid unless he wins. So, therefore, he is going to be with you every step of the way to make sure that you do. It's awesome. All right, awesomeness. What we normally do is we let the people speak first. They make their nominees before, if we have any extras, we can make ours. So, let's start and go right down the list. 4187, one of my biggest fans of all time, says Barry is going to be banned again by 97.5, therefore, car wreck nominee.
What? For what did I... Okay.
That's
not true.
Polls and
I mean, I'm no Chris Broussard.
Thank God for that, or we wouldn't be working together.
We might not be on the air right now.
He's mine, by the way. I just cheated.
Yeah. This is the one you're going to love, though, because I don't think you have to worry about winning.
Oh, okay.
8998, which wasn't the only one, but Honey Glaze Branham says, are we going to just let this Michael Connor using the women's restroom story get nominated?
Train wreck,
there
you go. Yeah.
Pretty true there.
I like that.
Darren gets nominated because he texted in Rangers for the win tonight. No one ever said Rangers fan is welcome or should chime in on a Houston Astros radio-type program in a Houston market, so you can kiss our ass.
Wow.
And you are a finalist.
Yeah.
So just remember that. Josh McDaniels, a nominee, because he has been fired and relieved of duties after crapping the bed with the Raiders in his second coaching stint.
Does he ever get another chance?
I think he's going to be the offensive coordinator again at some point if Belichick keeps coaching.
You think he takes over for Belichick?
I think it's possible. He was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think Bill O'Brien and his butt chin would like to have a word.
Could be. Dynamic duo.
Whoever loses out, would they take the offensive coordinator back?
Maybe.
4187, my biggest fan, also nominated Michael Connor for the car wreck of the day for using the ladies' room.
Does he even know we brought that up?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Someone made a very funny, but I don't think I should probably use it, play on Chris Broussard's last name to react to his comment.
No, I know exactly where that's headed.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Leave it there. Do you boys have anything else to add to those nominees?
Josh Beard getting the flu and missing the work today after being out in tights, I think deserves
great
a nomination.
Call, B-Matt.
There you go.
Great call.
People of North Carolina, like trying to hug bears on the highway.
Okay.
You got one?
You know what? I was going to say something highly inappropriate about Josh.
Well, why not? I mean, both Connor and Beard have been nominated for the car wreck of the day. I feel like the wheelhouse. That's all they used to do is use us.
Back in the day, I would have said it. Can't. I respect the airwaves.
I'm going to get that one that
too
says
much.
Barry should
no.
be.
No? No. Okay. I'm going to go with Chris Broussard. What a dummy.
He should be nominated. Absolutely. That's absolutely a great nomination.
I think he needs to be the winner.
If you don't know, Google it, because we're not going to use the word on the air, but he used a very inappropriate
word
to describe James Harden. Yep. And in part, he needs to apologize, and he's lucky if he still has a job.
It was a brutal whole conversation with him and
Nick Wrong.
Yes, him and Nick Wright.
Yeah, no,
Nick Wrong. Yeah. And it was just awkward and brutal and ugh, it was gross.
So what's it come down to? Connor, Beard, or Broussard?
Oh.
My vote is Broussard.
Yeah, okay. I go with Broussard on that.
I think the ramifications are such that it should be Broussard. I
agree.
So Connor and Beard get a pass, luckily.
Don't worry, they'll give us other opportunities.
Yeah.
Tights and ladies' rooms. Or a runner-up to Chris Broussard.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chris. And, of course, Car Wreck of the Day brought to you by the Hollingsworth Law Firm. Go to CarWreckTexas.com. If you get in a car accident, it's the number you should already have saved in your phone, because they are going to save you a whole lot of trouble. Also, if you want to call them, you can call them at 713-999-8773. 713-999-8773. Save it in your phone or CarWreckTexas.com. Barry, you know I always appreciate you. I love you and always have a great time doing shows with you.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you doing what you do again for a second day in a row. Jeremy will be back tomorrow. Joe, we'll see. We'll have the Killer Bees tomorrow from 3 to 6. You guys have a great night.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.